You would take the scriptures now and turn in them to Numbers and chapter 35. Numbers 35, we'll be reading this morning verses 1 through 34, the whole chapter. You remember last Lord's Day, hopefully you heard about from Numbers 34, the division of the land of the different tribes in the land of Canaan. But here, going now to the Levites and what will happen for them since they did not get a portion of the land. This is what we hear in Numbers 35, starting in verse 1. These are the words of the living and true God, so give your attention to them. And the Lord spoke to Moses in the plains of Moab by the Jordan, across from Jericho, saying, command the children of Israel that they give the Levite cities to dwell in from the inheritance of their possession. And you also shall give the Levites common land around the cities. They shall have the cities to dwell in, and their common land shall be for their cattle, for their herds, and for all their animals. The common land of the cities which you will give the Levites shall extend from the wall of the city outward 1,000 cubits all around. And you shall measure outside the city on the east side 2,000 cubits, on the south side 2,000 cubits, on the west side 2,000 cubits, and on the north side 2,000 cubits. The city shall be in the middle. This shall belong to them as common land for the cities. Now among the cities which you will give to the Levites, you shall appoint 6 cities of refuge to which a manslayer may flee. And to these you shall add 42 cities, so all the cities you will give to the Levites shall be 48. These you shall give with their common land. And the cities which you will give shall be from the possession of the children of Israel. From the larger tribe you shall give many, from the smaller you shall give few. Each shall give some of its cities to the Levites in proportion to the inheritance that each receives. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you cross the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall appoint cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the manslayer who kills any person accidentally may flee there. They shall be cities of refuge for you from the avenger, that the manslayer may not die until he stands before the congregation in judgment. And of the cities which you give, you shall have 6 cities of refuge. You shall appoint 3 cities on this side of the Jordan, and 3 cities you shall appoint in the land of Canaan, which will be cities of refuge. These 6 cities shall be for refuge for the children of Israel, for the stranger and for the sojourner among them, that anyone who kills a person accidentally may flee there. But if he strikes him with an iron implement so that he dies, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. And if he strikes him with a stone in the hand by which one could die, and he does die, he is a murderer, and the murderer shall surely be put to death. Or if he strikes him with a wooden hand weapon by which one could die, and he does die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. The avenger of blood himself shall put the murderer to death. When he meets him, he shall put him to death. If he pushes him out of hatred, or while lying in wait, hurls something at him so that he dies, or in enmity he strikes him with his hand so that he dies, the one who struck him shall surely be put to death. He is a murderer. The avenger of blood shall put the murderer to death when he meets him. However, if he pushes him suddenly without enmity, or throws anything at him without lying in wait, or uses a stone by which a man could die, throwing it at him without seeing him, so that he dies while he was not his enemy or seeking his harm, then the congregation shall judge between the manslayer and the avenger of blood according to these judgments. So the congregation shall deliver the manslayer from the hand of the avenger of blood, and the congregation shall return him to the city of refuge where he had fled, and he shall remain there until the death of the high priest who is anointed with the holy oil. But if the manslayer at any time goes outside the limits of the city of refuge where he fled, and the avenger of blood finds him outside the limits of his city of refuge, and the avenger of blood kills the manslayer, he shall not be guilty of blood, because he should have remained in his city of refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the manslayer may return to the land of his possession. And these things shall be a statute or of judgment to you throughout your generations and all your dwellings. Whoever kills a person, the murderer shall be put to death on the testimony of witnesses. But one witness is not sufficient testimony against a person for the death penalty. Moreover, you shall take no ransom for the life of a murderer who is guilty of death, but he shall surely be put to death. And you shall take no ransom for him who has fled to his city of refuge, that he may return to dwell in the land before the death of the priest. So you shall not pollute the land where you are, for blood defiles the land, and no atonement can be made for the land, for the blood that is shed on it, except by the blood of him who shed it. Therefore, do not defile the land which you inhabit, in the midst of which I dwell, for I, the Lord, dwell among the children of Israel. And those are God's words. And oftentimes we think of what we see here as the civil law, at least the last part of that chapter, having to do with the civil laws pertaining to the nation of Israel. And so here, as we said already, the dividing up first off of the cities for the Levites, who didn't have property that was given to them. They didn't have an inheritance. Mostly, if you go back to Genesis, because of the son of Levi and his rebellion against God, and that's why they didn't get a portion. And then in this, all the tribes in which these cities were located, three on the west side of the Jordan, three on the east side of the Jordan, they were, in verse 8, to give part of their inheritance of the 12 tribes, so the other tribes that had inheritance, they were to give from their inheritance to the Levites these cities and then the common land around them. And that's in some ways the same today, what we do in the church of Jesus Christ. We are to give a portion of what we have to the congregation for its building, its ministries, its pastors, to support the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And because of a great error today, we ought not to give as a church. We don't give and use our monies to make pastors rich. We don't do it, take all these monies in to make a building that is grand and wonderful and glorious. But we do so for the spread of the gospel. And that's why we have an offering, or one of the reasons why, to take care of souls and to have an adequate place to worship in. And even that, at times, when necessary, we don't need a place to worship. We can worship outside if we needed to, because we know that the Spirit is in our hearts, so when we gather together for worship. And then, through verse 15, there were also to be designated six cities of refuge for those who accidentally killed someone. And verse 22 and through 24 also talk about, clarify who those people were, manslayers, or the accidental people. We call that manslaughter today, generally speaking. And then verses 16 through 21 describing those that these cities would not be for, those who were murderers, who intentionally, willfully killed someone, or because they hated them, they struck them and they died. But that should, such people like that should be put to death. That's pretty clear from this passage of Scripture. And those who took refuge in the cities of refuge are given rules concerning that through verse 29. And we remember in these laws that the Lord takes seriously the crime, the sin of taking another's life. It happens so often today. That's what we can learn from this passage. And God shows that this the taking of a life requires capital punishment when you do it willfully or with intent. Even Genesis 9:6 says, "Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God he made man." And so when we murder people, we kill them, we are attacking God, is what he's saying there. And of course, that goes to, as Jesus says, even to our anger. We should remember that the penalty of our sin, even anger, is death. Our sin, the wages of sin, is death. A little bit more on what it was for the nation of Israel and the principle of Scripture, not only here but throughout. There is a need to prove guilt on the earth. by two or three witnesses. One is not sufficient. And we should remember that. Even as we think of our government today, whether it has to do with capital punishment or, you know, putting to death people who murder people willfully, or manslaughter or whatever it is, finding guilt, there needs to be two or three witnesses that prove this. Otherwise, it's like a he said, she said, or something like that. And we can see in our government that they have strayed in many ways as we think of the biblical principles that we find here. But as we think of that, the truth of that the wages of sin is death, and that also shown here, the big principle of the gospel, that God's justice and holiness must be satisfied. God demands cleansing and atonement. To those who sin, death is required. But he gives us good news in Jesus Christ, that he received the just punishment of our sins. If we come to him and we believe in him and we trust him for our life, and we'll learn more about that or hear more about that this morning, that he bore our sins. That he bore our sins and purged us of our sins. And today, we must understand also that Christ's atonement is not universal. His satisfaction of God's justice towards sin is not universal. Christ's work belongs only to those who belong to him. And so, do you belong to him? Do you belong to Jesus Christ? Have you been a recipient of his gracious work and of dying on the cross for your sins that you've committed? Have you come unto him and loved him and hated your sin, which you know should cause you to be put to death forever? Do you hate your sin? If not, and if you have not loved Christ, then you ought to turn to him now to be shown his mercy and his grace. There's many things here, even in the gospel, that we can learn from this passage. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we give you praise this day for your Son, Jesus Christ, who is our atoning sacrifice, our vicarious atonement, who died for us in our place. And Father, we give you praise for him and the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that though we sin, that he is the righteous one who lived perfectly in accordance with your law and died a perfect, atoning, sacrificial death on the cross, being our substitution, taking our place. And having been buried, he rose from the dead on the third day, now seated on the throne as our mediator king. And he is king over all. Not only over all the church, but even as Ephesians 1 and Psalm 2 teaches us, over all nations. Father, we give you praise that Christ is king and head over the nation that we belong to, in all nations, so that we have confidence that the gospel will go forward, that the gospel will be preached to the ends of the earth, that even as we heard in the call to worship, when we have enemies, you will judge. He will judge our enemies. And he will use their wickedness even for his own glory and for our good. But Father, we ask that if there be any here who do not know you, that you would call them to yourself today, that this would be the day of salvation, even from amongst our children, that they would see their sin and hate it, and they would love Jesus for what he's done for them and who he is as Savior and Lord. And Father, as we think of the church, we give you praise that for the few that we have of this congregation. You have well supplied and provided for the ministry of this congregation to this community. And we pray that you would grow us more, not so that we could build a great building or anything like that, or even make a pastor or anyone rich, but so that the gospel would go forward to more people, and that we would have more funds in order to even support missionaries and people, church planters in our nation and abroad. And we would reach those people as we know your promises that the gospel will go to the ends of the earth. We know that that will take means and instruments to do so, even weak men, to take the gospel and proclaim it to the ends of the earth. And so we pray that you'll provide for that. And you would make us able to help with that and serve in that way, even though we live here. Father, we do pray today and ask for your help for Carla's brother, Gilmario, and we ask that you would comfort his wife and four children. We ask that you would help them to trust you. We're thankful that he is a believer in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we give you praise for that. We know that not everybody in Carla's family is, but we pray that this may be a way to prick their hearts and cause them to remember the gospel they've heard and turn to you. But for Gilmario, we ask that you would heal him if it be your will. And we know at the right time you will. And though he lays unconscious, we know that you know what's happening. You are conscious of all things. And you even know the thoughts and intents of his heart and our hearts. And so, Father, we ask that you would heal him at the right time in accordance with your perfect will, knowing that you are the God who heals, as we pray as well for Becky, and that you would heal her of her virus that she has, whatever it is, and you would cause the swelling of her feet to go down. Father, we also ask that you would be with Arian and help her, and that you would, the baby in the womb, that you would bring about that boy safely and health, that he would be healthy, but more importantly, we pray for his salvation, even now in the womb. We know that you, from the very beginning, you saved John the Baptizer in the womb, and surely you can do so to a child of one of us. And though we know that's not ordinary, we pray for their salvation at the earliest of ages, if it be your will. And Father, that we pray the same for all of our children, even those who have gone out from us and who have rebelled against you and become your enemy. Father, if it be your will, bring them to yourself, that they would no longer be fools who say there is no God, that they would love you, and they would love your Son, Jesus Christ, and they would cling to him and grasp hold of him for their life and salvation, and that you would spare them, and not because of anything good in them or in us, but because of your love for them. And Father, in this we remember that you did not spare your Son, but you delivered him over for us all, that in him we might have all things, even salvation and justification and adoption and now sanctification. We pray that you'd bring us to glorification. Father, we ask also that you would, as we've considered our government this morning, that you would cause our rulers to come unto you, regenerate their hearts and call them to yourself, that they would be saved, and we pray that in accordance with your word in 1 Timothy 2. We ask that you would save all types of people like that. And Father, we also ask that you would cause them to rule according to your word, or the principles found in your word. Even as it has to do with when people die or put to death by another. Father, may you show mercy, but also show justice. And have the government to wield the sword as they ought to. And Father, then we do pray for our souls, that you would sanctify us and cleanse us of our sin. And even now, as we continue in worship, and we'll consider this morning of preparing for the Lord's Supper, the next Lord's Day, we ask that you would help us to prepare and convict us where we have not in the past, and where we can, by your Holy Spirit, improve for the blessing of our souls and for your glory alone. Father, in all these things, we cry out to you and we ask for your help. And we ask for your will to be done in all of it as we pray in Jesus' name, our Lord and Savior, who hears our prayers and answers and who intercedes for us. We pray in his name. Amen. Amen.